Me to Romans chapter 3. We're going to continue on in our Romans series. And as you're turning there, I'd like to remind you of tonight's service. We're going to continue talking about the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit tonight. We all right? We good? All right. We're going to continue talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit tonight. So we've already got our boxing gloves on from last week, so go ahead, we'll start for round 3 here, and we'll see how we can get along after all of this interpretation on the Holy Spirit, and we'll see how many people we got up running around after a while here. So on Wednesday, we're also going to continue our lessons on church history and reading the Bible with Baptists in the past, but today we're going to move into a new segment of Romans. We've been talking about Romans Road, and we used chapter 1 as kind of laying out a map for us, the introduction to the book of Romans, saying this is where Paul is going to go. Then we began talking about the lawless life and what it means to be under the wrath of God, and now we're going to talk about the blessed assurance that comes from salvation. Much of what we've done so far is we've said salvation is by faith alone. Now we need to look closely at that statement. So the statement we're going to look at today is that salvation is by grace through faith. And we're going to observe that statement, salvation is by grace through faith, and we're going to pick apart what that means. It is enough to simply say, I believe in Jesus, but to move on from that and understand exactly what Jesus did in your life is important. And Romans chapter 3, verse 21 through 26, will help us to understand exactly what we mean when we say salvation is by grace through faith. So let's read Romans 3, verse 21 through 26. Then we'll review where we've come from Romans to make sure we all have the same understanding of terms. And then we'll move forward from there. Verse 21. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood to be received by faith. This was to show righteousness because in His divine forbearance He had passed over former sin. It was to show the righteousness at the present time so that He might be just and justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Let us pray together. Most High and Heavenly Father, I ask that You would bless the reading of Your Word today, that we would understand what it means to say salvation is by grace through faith. Lord, I ask that You would help me today in my infirmities and my weakness to preach clearly and well, that my listeners would hear and know what salvation means, to understand grace better, and to know what it means to have faith. Let us have this assurance of salvation that what You did on the cross is a finished and complete work, and that all who believe in Your Son may be saved, and that all that call upon His name would know the glory of God. It's in His name, then, that we pray. Amen. Well, let's review a little bit, shall we? And I've got most of this review up on our PowerPoint today to help us along and to keep this moving, but this is rather in-depth material and is a more complicated understanding as we pick apart what we mean by salvation by grace through faith. So let's get a look at what we've done in Romans so far. First, we have to understand that the gospel is the power for salvation for all who believe. You can see that in Romans 1:16. The gospel is the power of salvation. It's the good news. The good news is in Jesus Christ died for our sins. That is our power. But you must believe in it. Second, we are saved by faith. That's Romans 1:17. By faith alone, we are saved. We've talked about that together. And as we talked about the lawless life, we looked at God's wrath. And we saw that God's wrath is poured out on sinners. This is in Romans chapter 1 and goes from 18 through the end of the chapter. And so God's wrath is defined in two ways in the book of Romans. First, God's wrath is the removal of His presence. No longer are we able to know the difference between right and wrong, but we go after idols and falsehood because God has been removed from our lives. He's removed Himself and allowed us to go our own way. Secondly, wrath also then means that He will judge in the end all sin, that He is the great judge of sin. And we saw that He judges all sin equally. There is no favoritism with God. Then we also saw that faith is apart from the law. We have the law, but we learned that the law's intent, and I ask you to underline or memorize or get this in your heart of Romans chapter 3, verse 20, that if the works of the law are to tell us about sin, but they are not salvific. It does not save us. Faith is apart from the law. Then we finally said that no, not one is righteous. No one is righteous before God. Before God's judgment, we all have a guilty verdict. Righteousness means to be in right standing before the law, to be in right standing before God, to be innocent in His court. But not one of us is righteous. And that brings us to our thesis, our main statement, the thing we're talking about today. Salvation is by grace through faith. What do we mean by salvation by grace through faith? Let's take a look. Verse 21. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. What does Paul mean there? Well, think of a ship captain. He's going about the boat and he asks for the ship manifest. What's he asking when he looks at the manifest? He wants to know what's on board. What's there? What's present? And so what Paul is saying is what's on board you now, what's on board your ship, is the righteousness of God. It has been put in you. You are carrying the righteousness of God. No longer are you a vessel adrift where you no longer have righteousness, but righteousness has been manifested to you. It's been put in you. You are in right standing before God apart from the law. The law did not make you right before God. The law exposed sin. Martin Luther calls this verse the chief point of the Bible. So if we're to highlight and understand verse 20 and to use that when we read the law, verse 21 is there to give you the assurance that you are in right standing before God apart from the law. Well, what did the law do? Here he lays it out plainly. The law and the prophets bear witness to it. If there's witness that there is a righteousness that can be before God, you can be in right standing before God. You could obey the entire law, but you didn't. Because no one is righteous, no, not one. And so since the prophets bear witness to there being a righteousness available and yet is absent, there is then one who is the righteous one, Jesus Christ. This is what he says, verse 22. The righteousness of God through faith in Christ Jesus for all who believe. So salvation is God's righteousness in you, but righteousness that manifests in order to have it on your ship's log, in order to have it on you, to be on board, if you will, you have to have faith in Jesus. There's no other way to get it. There's no other way for it to come on board. No one can bring it on board your ship for you. Righteousness before God, right standing before His court, to be innocent before God, requires faith in Jesus. So when we say salvation by grace through faith, we have to understand there's a subjective element to our faith. Something you must believe. And Paul's going to let you know exactly what you must believe today. And here's where we need to zoom in and pay attention. Don't fall asleep today. Don't miss salvation. Don't let it pass by you for one second. Because here we are. For there's no distinction. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. If you want God's righteousness to be manifested in you, you're going to have to admit something that nobody likes to admit. I'm a sinner. You have to admit that Romans 3:23 is true. I have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. What is the glory of God in this verse? The glory of God is that perfection by which He is greater than all creation. You have to start with humility, understanding you're a human and that you are in need. Christ came to heal the sick. You do not need a doctor if you're not sick. You do not need Jesus if you're not a sinner. But if you'll begin the starting point of your day, if you'll begin the understanding of who you are with Romans 3:23 in mind, then you'll have started well in understanding what it means to be saved. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. God's righteousness, the gift of grace, salvation is for sinners. It is not for those who think themselves to be perfect. It is not for those who are so high and mighty that they do not need help. But we all are sinners and we all are in need of help. So it begins with an admission. I am a sinner in need of help. Verse 24. We are justified by His grace as a gift. So now we understand we are in need of salvation. But it's by grace. Grace here is literally defined as a gift. A gift. You could not save yourself. You could not get out of anyway. Why? Because the law only tells you you're not good enough. But grace is a completed gift. Something that is given to you to be received. It starts by receiving, saying, I'm a sinner and I need help. And God says, I've provided a way. Sinners are justified by grace alone. It is by grace through faith that we have been saved. What is it that God desires of us? Does He desire us to follow all of these laws, to do all that we can? No, He desires a broken heart and a contrite spirit, according to Psalm 51. He desires us to understand that grace is grace. You're out at a restaurant. And you have to give grace to someone. We call that gratuity. A tip. Something that you say, well, they've been working so hard, I'll give them more. But you know what? You're supposed to tip and give grace, even if that server is not great. In fact, they're reliant on it. Most servers in our country aren't paid a wage that allows them to just work. They need a tip. They need a grace from you. And whether or not you feel like doing it when you're out to eat, we understand that etiquette and you get that the little bit of nervousness going, you go, well, what's 10%? Well, what's 15%? Should I do 20 or 25%? Grace, when you give grace to someone, isn't asking what's the minimum that can be given. Gratuity is something you say, I'm going to give you something that you could not have possibly earned. And in this case, we are the server who spilled everything on the way to the table. One of my first times of meeting Danielle's parents, some of you have heard this story, but it's a classic one. First time I'm having dinner with her parents. We're out at a restaurant. The waiter comes by with a big tray of water. I'm wearing light khaki pants. You know what they do? She stumbles, trips. Four glasses of water all down my lap. Light khaki pants tend to get a little bit see-through when they're wet. There is no hope for me in this situation. I am neither close enough to my home, nor am I able to go to my car and get some new pants. So I have to sit there shivering and in the cold. She's embarrassed. Completely mortified. I'm looking across and here's these two eyes staring back at me from Danielle's father. How's he going to react in this situation? Justified by the law. I can get upset at her, kick her out, call the manager, demand a free meal. Grace. I understand that you are in need of grace in this situation and I forgive you for what happened. Which route should we take? It shows the kind of person that we are when we are a person of grace. But God revealed himself first, that when we were worse than a server who just spilled things, we were the sinner, the one who's in complete wretchedness, far from God, not knowing the difference between good and evil, worshiping a lizard instead of God, worshiping ourselves instead of God, defining ourselves in a way that's contrary to the way that he defined us, and yet still he gave grace. Salvation is by grace alone. That's all that it is. You are justified by his grace as a gift. That is what Paul says. It is free to you, and you did not deserve it, but he gave it anyway. This has to change the way that you view yourself. That you might view yourself as vile and terrible, but if God has given you a great gift, his Son, then he has esteemed you to be of greater value than you could possibly know. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. It was a gift. Nothing that you could possibly earn. And if you could not earn it, then how can you lose it? You are justified by grace. Now let's take a look. How are we going to define this? Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Redemption, the idea of purchasing. So it isn't just a gift, but he's purchased you back from your sin. He has redeemed you. How? Whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood. Now you might be saying, I have no idea what propitiation is. That's okay. This is something we need to talk about today because it's very important to the concept of righteousness and salvation. Salvation means that two elements have to be taken care of. First, sin is wrong and evil, and God cannot just let it go. You might say to yourself, hey, hold on a second. When I forgive someone, I just let things go. But sin is an eternal matter, a matter of the soul. Why can't God just let things go? Why can't he just forgive as we forgive, or forget as we forget? Because rebellion against God means death. He is all good. He is all just. He cannot make evil less evil. He has to be just. He has to be just. So he can't just let it go. A good God could not just let sin go today. And so he won't just let it go, but he'll purchase you and he'll take care of the wrath of God. God took care of the wrath of God. Remember the wrath of God? We said it's two things. Removing his presence and judging sin. When propitiation means this, it means that God has taken care of God's wrath. He has removed the wrath of God. That is what Jesus did when he died on the cross. When we say salvation, we mean propitiation. That God's wrath is taken care of. That means you can draw near to God. He is no longer removing his presence from you. He is no longer going to judge you in his court as guilty. This is what it means then, that the righteousness of God is then manifested in you. That it's now on board your ship. That the God of the universe looked and said, on board, righteousness. Well, I thought God wasn't going to show up today. Wasn't he going to remove himself? No, Jesus propitiated God's wrath. By what? How? By his blood. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. Propitiation means that no longer is God's wrath a factor. When you believe in Christ, God's wrath is taken care of completely. Completely in your life. But it also means a second thing. Not just propitiation, but expiation. Sin is removed. It's expiated. It's gone. It exits the building. In order for you to be righteous, There cannot be sin in you. Expiation means that your sin was put on Jesus Christ. Here's how Paul puts it. He who knew no sin became sin for you. When we look at the cross and we look at Jesus on the cross, you have to understand this. You are laying your sin onto Him and He is paying its penalty completely. Past, present, future, completed. That is why when we read the story of Jesus on the cross, He says, "It is finished, completed, done." When you believe in Jesus Christ, salvation means this. The wrath of God is taken care of in Jesus. And the sin of man is placed on Him, and He is the substitute. Which means in the court of God, because God is just, He cannot give a false verdict. He pronounces Jesus Christ guilty. And when you put faith in Jesus Christ, you're saying, I believe the verdict for me is placed on Him. And therefore, His righteousness is mine. The righteousness of God is manifested in you. You are righteous before God. You are saved. Salvation means no more God's wrath, no more sin counted against you. We are justified by His grace as a gift. Through the redemption He purchased you that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood. He died to take care of God's wrath. And it is to be received by faith. That means salvation has two aspects to it today. There is an objective aspect. Objective. Jesus took care of it all. Subjective. I trust Him. You have to have both or you'll get off track. If you forget that Jesus actually finished the atoning work, that it's done, it is finished, then you'll begin to say, well, I can lose my salvation. There is no blessed assurance. You cannot lose what you could not earn. It's a gift to you. It's taken care of. Objectively finished. You do not have to worry anymore. Am I right before God? Yes. By grace, through faith. But you cannot have it unless you partake of it. What do I mean? Well, think about the Lord's Supper. Objectively, His body is broken and His blood is poured out. But have you taken the Lord's Supper unless you ate and drank? Would you say, I partake of the Lord's Supper simply because I recognize that Jesus died? No. That's not partaking of the Lord's Supper. You have to eat and drink. That is a symbol to remind you exactly how you are saved. Jesus' body and blood poured out for you, broken for you. But you must partake by faith. You cannot partake by intellect. You can't say, yes, I now understand exactly what Jesus did. You cannot partake by saying, I showed up and it happened. You cannot partake by any means other than by faith alone. The only way for you to be saved is by grace through faith. Salvation then means this. God's wrath and sin are taken care of in Christ. By grace, it was a gift you could not earn. Through faith, you must believe in Him. If you are to be saved, it requires all those elements to be in place, according to Paul. For whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood to be received by faith. This was to show. Why do this? Why do this? Why did God make it this way? Why would God put this entire system in place? This was to show God's righteousness. Because of His divine forbearance, He passed over former sins. What Paul is saying here is God has given you enough time. He's going to show Himself to be the good judge. Many of us have put off believing in God, put off our faith in some form. God has given us time to believe. But there's another part to it. It was to show His righteousness at the present time so that He might be just and justifier. He has to uphold good and evil. They are clear to Him because He is good and those in rebellion to Him are evil. He is just. He will judge sin appropriately. But He also is justifier. What do we mean? God is just. He is holy. He is perfect. He is all good. God is love. He made a way for you to be saved. These are the rules. Evil must be taken care of. There can be no other way. A lot of times we try to make evil downplayed, don't we? It's not so bad. We can let people do their own thing. Let them do their own thing in their own time. I'll just be me. We always want to justify evil and make it not so bad because when we look in the mirror, we see the evil in our own hearts. But God cannot let evil be moderate. Evil is evil. But He loves you. So He is not just the just God. He's the justifying God. He made you right in His court. But for who? Again, it's reiterated, of the one who has faith in Jesus. There is no other way to salvation except faith in Jesus. Salvation is by grace through faith. This means this. Salvation. He took care of God's wrath. He took care of sin. Grace, it's a gift to you. Faith, you believe in Jesus Christ alone. That's it. And once you do that, you are made right in God's court. What do we do with that then? How do we apply it? First, if salvation means that God's wrath is taken care of and sin is gone, then draw near to Him. There is no longer a curtain between you and God. Do you remember when Jesus died, what happened to the veil between the Holy of Holies and the rest of the world? It was torn open. God's wrath was propitiated. You are able to draw near to God, so draw near to Him, Daisy. Don't put it off. Don't make it secondary. Don't wait until the afternoon. Don't wait until the evening. Draw near to God the moment you wake up and thank Him for the grace that He's given you. Don't neglect the Word of God. You can draw near to Him now without fear of punishment. You can come before the court of God and kneel down in prayer knowing that the Son of God has gone before you. Draw near to Him. He's available to you. If you believe in Jesus Christ through faith, then you can draw near to God. If it's salvation, then it's total, it's complete. Draw near to Him. If by grace, then judge by grace. This means that when we're dealing with other people, we have to be very careful to deal with other people the way that God dealt with us. Your children, your spouse, your friends will not adhere to the law of God perfectly. How do I know? I don't. You don't. They won't. I don't. You don't. They won't. We cannot have salvation by the law, which means our families cannot be governed only by the law. They must be governed by grace. Children need a lot of grace. They need a lot of grace. Because I need a lot of grace. Spouses need a lot of grace. Because I need a lot of grace. God didn't give up on you because you failed the law. He loved you and sent His Son. If the foundation of your salvation is by grace, then the foundations of our relationships will have to be by grace also. Father, we pray, right? Who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. But then we say, forgive us of our debt as we forgive those who what trespass against us. In that prayer is a recognition that salvation is by grace. Forgive me. But it also recognizes that because grace entered your life, you live by grace as I forgive others. Don't let the law be the only rule in your house. Now, of course, the law has to rule in your house because God is just. But grace comes alongside as the symbol of love and offers forgiveness. I've been a grader for students for quite a long time. You know what students need? Grace. You know how many times I have to go back in the semester and say, hey, read the syllabus. That's the law. But every single semester I get an email that says, hey, I know the due date was yesterday, but I started working on it today. Can I turn it in next week? The law says, no, you missed the mark. But the fact is, I don't think I would have gotten through school without a little bit of grace. And so that has to enter into the equation, doesn't it? Because then you find out that the person who missed the assignment was out doing a mission. They were out sharing the gospel. They were in the middle of a revival. They got sick. Their parents died. There's always some reason. But the fact is, we can give grace and not having been trampled upon by doing so. We give grace because God gave grace. If by grace, then we judge by grace. And mercy, mercy. If by faith, then we live by hope. Because faith is not in something that you see, it's in something you don't see. And hope is not something that you have when it's right near in front of you, it's always the hope in tomorrow. You know what faith means? It means that when Jesus Christ died and rose from the dead, I believe that He took care of God's wrath and took care of God's sin, and I'm looking forward to having that final verdict. I look forward not just to going before the court, but by hearing, good, well done, my good and faithful servant. That means if by faith, then in our lives, we are to have a positive outlook. We're to think positively about tomorrow. I know that's hard to do when you see sin running rampant and you think society's gone every which way. But if through faith, then we believe that Jesus Christ will return. And if He's just, then He'll judge the sin that He sees. And if He's justifier, then salvation will continue forward. This means when I see a person and I know that they are a sinner, they continue to be in sin, they continue to trample upon me, I've given them grace and they continue to trample upon me, I do not give up hope that they will be saved. I do not give up on that person. I do not say, well, that's just who they are, they'll always be that way. Because I was not always the way that I am. God made a way. And through faith, He changed